Hi, I'm Ben.
And I'm Sarah.
And you're listening to
What's New?
Nancy Drew.
Come get a clue.
Boop, boop, doo.
This podcast is part of the Fandom Limb Media Podcast Network. So for other pop culture podcasts, go to fandomlimb.com.
Here on What's New, Nancy Drew, Sarah and I recap the latest episodes of the CW's Nancy Drew. Today, we'll be talking about Season 4, Episode 2, The Maiden's Rage.
I loved it.
Oh my gosh, this was pure joy.
So much fun.
So let's get into
it. Let's just hop right in.
There was no previously on this time, which I found interesting after we kind of talked about it in the first episode.
Mm-hmm.
So they even just dove right in. We open at the Claw with George doing a little power walk.
Yes. We see her first, just her heels, but then we see who's attached to them. And she is sticking to her diligent schedule that Carson made her, which I love that they followed through, like her and Carson followed through and made the schedule. And she is really committing to this new career path that she wants.
Dedicated.
And then immediately what we talked about is seeing Nancy and Ace sitting together at the booth, like, oh, you're sitting together, but you're not like two together. So, okay. No contact. Smart.
Thank goodness. Getting exactly what we want. Now Everyone is in on it. And we find out they're all in on it because Ace went to Bess for moral support. And Bess being Bess went to everyone else, which is really just Nick and George.
Right.
But still funny how it spread.
It is funny.
And I'm glad that all happened off camera. We just got right to the point.
Yes. I agree. And then a little more somber there with Ace and Nancy, where he is trying to process and she won't give the details of why she knows. Just keeps telling him it won't change anything. And so he's like, if it won't change anything, then there is something that you're not telling me.
Mm-hmm. We know as viewers that she doesn't want to share the information because it was traumatic, because she felt like she literally lived being with him and then losing him. So she's trying to spare him that trauma. But also, like, you can't hold everything in, which is what this whole episode's about.
Yeah.
So I thought it was good that it was being addressed, and I'm really, really happy with their journey throughout this episode.
Agreed.
We have Bess looking at Nick's dating app, where we see Jade.
Yeah, Nick says that Jade slid into his DMs, and he's going to brunch with them.
Did he use DMs right? That was
that was
so
really
cute.
Funny. He's trying so hard. I love that Bess is supporting him with this. That he's trying to get back out there, but he's like not. He doesn't think he's trying to get back out there.
Mm-hmm.
But just the how supportive Bess is, just all the time, is amazing.
She's the best friend of the group.
Yeah,
100%. Can we talk a little bit about Jade being non-binary?
Sure.
So, obviously, throughout the episode, we get to learn a little bit about this person and. Is it going to be a thing that actually happens? And at the end of the episode, spoiler alert, we find out that, oh, they're going to try dating. So I like that it's very clear they're non-binary. Nick says it a few times. So that puts Nick in a queer relationship, which I think doesn't mean he's queer, but he's in a queer relationship because he's with someone who is not female.
Okay. I didn't realize that that's...
So that's how I was processing it.
Okay.
So I like that, and I'm excited to see where that goes and if that kind of becomes a discussion or if they're just going to let it be. Because people's pronouns, it's not they identify as non-binary. It's that they are non-binary. So non-binary would mean not male or female.
Mm-hmm.
So Nick is with someone who is not female.
Yes.
That's how I am taking it from my queer background. I could be wrong, so listeners, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm excited for that. We've never, the show's played, obviously, you know, Bess is a lesbian, so we have that, but there hasn't been too much other queerness going on, so I'm kind of excited to see how they play that and that it isn't really changing anything about him, but this whole episode deals with toxic masculinity, and so having this Gen Zer. Are they Gen Z? Yeah, they're 19 years old, 20 years old. So having this
I mean, what are we? Because we'd be the same, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Having this Gen Zer be more open with who he's willing to date and who he is interested in, I thought was progressive, but also very true to how I see a lot of Gen Zers being in the real world.
Yeah.
And also, if we want to go back to our dear beloved Tom Swift, if always. Nick is a little more open with his sexuality, then that kiss that Nick shared in season two with Tom Swift could be like, oh, Nick, I bought that more. Because when that happened, I was like, Nick's a supportive, like, good friend to people. And Nick is, you know, not toxic. But him kissing Tom Swift, I found a little jarring in the moment. But as we've seen Nick progress, I'm like, no, I buy it even more that he would have done that for this guy who he connected with.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Sorry, probably could have waited for all that rant, but I wanted to, this was the first time that we found out that Jade was non-binary, so I wanted to discuss them in that moment.
Yeah, no, I think that was a good idea. I would also, not taking away from anything you just said, but I would also like to discuss Nick's hat.
Oh my God, absolutely. You know I want to talk about the hat. Sarah, yay or nay?
Oh, that's a big old nay.
It's so ugly.
Like, why? Why would he get that?
So he could have something to leave at the restaurant, and so we could have a moment of George reading him for it.
Couldn't it be a better looking hat?
It was, honestly, I think on him, because he's charming and kind of dopey, I think it could have been cute with a different outfit. I actually really, listeners, her face says no. His outfit I actually loved, and I want you to do some sleuthing, Sarah, and find me that plaid shirt that he wore.
Okay.
Because it's almost like a coral with like a greenish teal. It was cute. It wasn't like red and green Christmas, but it was like kind of corally and teal, and I thought it was really cute. So if you find what store the props department or the costume department got Nick's flannel, Sarah, let me know.
Okay. I will work on it.
Or any listeners, I want to purchase it.
I know there are some websites where I found other Nancy and Tom clothes before where they post, but that's not every outfit, so we'll have to see.
All right, should we get back to plot? What's going on? George is taking Judge... Do you have something? Sorry.
I was just reading my notes, and it was super cute. The best is supporting him, and then puts on atrocious hat.
I wrote, that hat is ridiculous, but I love his bright flannel. Find me where he got that.
Another thing about the hat, I think it shows that he's trying to find his identity and he's trying to get out there beyond just the Drew crew because he's been with half the Drew crew so far. And so he's trying to find himself and progress. And so, hey, why not try a new hat? Who hasn't like gotten a new piece of clothing to be like, hey, maybe this will, you know, maybe this is me.
Good call. Definitely. And it's better than him doing like something dramatic to his hair. He's just made a dumb purchase.
Yeah. But we do get George showing up telling him like, we're cool. We can talk about this. Lose a hat.
On her way to take Judge Abbott food and her revised legal memo. She's buttering him up.
Of course. And we see her at Judge Abbott's office clerking it up, doing what she needs to do. And
power just, montage.
Yeah. She is bringing him papers. She brings him water. And then as she's out of the room, she hears him start freaking out and grunting and groaning. Gets in there and he's pulling a case file. Has a classic clutching at his heart. Know that he's having a heart attack. And he tells her to stay away from Magpie Lake.
Yeah, we also caught in that scene mild black veins on his neck too.
Mm-hmm.
And there we go to the title screen. Feel like the title screen came a lot quicker this episode than episode one.
I think you're right. Yeah.
It's then at the Historical Society. And whoo boy, do I have strong opinions about Addie this episode.
Yes, completely agree.
We were talking about like, oh, they're going to be together all season. And oh, I've never really connected with her or whatever. This episode, I just did not enjoy her.
No, and I wonder if it was supposed to be a parallel about suppressing feelings and hiding things.
Mm.
I could see that that's what was intended, but that's not what came across. I did not like Addie in this episode.
So Bess is trying out a new tea for Addie's parents who are coming over that night. Okay, are they at the Drew's house? Is this the Drew's house? No, this is a Historical Society. When Bess is cooking throughout the episode,
that's
is that
at the
Drew's
house? Yeah.
So does she still live there?
I don't think so. I think she was using the kitchen to prep everything.
Okay. That's
kind of what I was thinking, that that's what was happening.
Sure.
Her menu First of all, super cute that she like wrote it all out and had it planned in the different courses. Mm-hmm. I think that is very elegant and yeah, it would be very nice. I also love lentil soup.
And Bess is like the classy one. Bess is the one who cares about appearances and cares about fancy things. So for Addie to be like, not good enough, my parents are really particular, I'm like, then maybe you should cook dinner.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe you should go out to dinner.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Then the parents can pay and it'll all be great.
Yeah. I did like the whole like, oh, my parents really like salmon. Oh, so I could do like the salmon cakes. Well, something a little less fried. And she was like, oh, salmon croquet or whatever it was.
Well, first she said fish and chips. And I'm like, okay, yes. Well, hold on, Bess. Who fish and chips salmon? Isn't fish and chips usually like a white fish?
I thought so, but being from England, I know fish and chips is really big over there. I assumed that that was a thing.
You could fry anything. Yeah. Yeah. They conclude that fork and knife salmon will be good enough for Addie's parents. Back at the Claw, Ace and Nancy are going at it. Ace is like, since when do you give up so easily? And she's just like, I can't deal with my feelings right now.
And then enter Tristan.
I like to call him Lobston.
Okay.
Which is a combination of Lobster Boy and Tristan.
All right. You can do that. I'm going to call him Tristan.
Perfect. And we get the little new season triangle just standing there awkwardly for a second. And I got so excited.
Maybe the three of them can just be a throuple. I would be fine with that.
But everyone's in a queer relationship.
So Tristan comments that Nancy is not running away from him this time. And seems like they're kind of flirting there, or at least he's attempting to. And he does mention that his boat got impounded. That's why his lobster delivery is so small.
I love the not running away this time, clearly referring to when they met at the dock and she hid in his little lobster hold. It was funny to me and kind of ironic because it's like she's not running away right now, but this is a situation that she probably wants to run away from.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Oh, I thought she was talking about running away at the glass house when she ran into him there.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah.
Because then she was like, I was following a lead, which I feel like she was saying for Ace. I was following a lead and you weren't the lead.
Correct. So
like, I was working. I was not just following this guy.
Correct. But also, he's not the lead love interest, which then they just fully tell us that with his never the lead, just like high school. I'm obsessed with the lack of subtlety. Like, yeah. I live for that, like, melodramatic, cheesy love interest. Just, they're telling us exactly what mm-hmm. is going on. And I thought it was so funny.
It is. And I feel like Ace was going back and forth between, like, liking this guy. Like, when he compliments, you know, Jolene is a solid boat name. And then when Nancy tells Tristan that she'll get his boat out, and he was like, it's okay, I made my own bed.
Oh my God.
And Ace is like, I made my own bed this morning, every morning, in fact.
And they just kind of stare at him, but it doesn't last long because George calls Nancy.
Thank God. And we go over to Abbott's office, and George is all, you know, she told the paramedics that it wasn't a normal heart attack, but they didn't take her seriously, even though she was wearing a blazer.
Blazers are the outfits of seriousness. And she's really upset because Abbott is like her mentor.
Yeah.
Veins don't just turn black like that. And they're like, maybe it's supernatural adjacent. I really like the supernatural adjacent line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. And Nancy is like very much comforting George. Like, it's okay. We'll figure out what's going on. We'll fix this. That's what we do. While Ace is watching in the background like, oh, you're going to fix this, but you won't bother to fix our relationship and all that.
Oh, I didn't catch that. I like that. And they're questioning, why did he try to destroy the file? What is Magpie Lake?
Ace goes through and checks Abbott's text, emails, all that. Can't find any threats against him that he might be poisoned.
And then Nancy picks up a glass of water. And I love the like symbolism here because Ace bumps her mm-hmm. and she gets water on her, which of course leads to a whole problem this episode, which is Ace and Nancy were standing too close to each other and it caused a problem, which is the symbolism yeah. for this whole thing. Mm-hmm. Maybe if they were further away from each other, he wouldn't have knocked water in her face.
That's true.
You didn't catch that?
I didn't catch that.
I didn't know if that was intentional, but that's how I took it. I loved it.
No, that completely makes sense. Because it was very clear that he was the one that bumped her.
Oh, yeah.
But who stands with their mouth open? Like,
when it happened, did you think it was actually going to be an issue, or do you think it was just a joke? Because I took it as a joke at first, and then I was like, oh, no, she's affected.
Oh, I thought that she would be affected.
Okay.
At first, I was like, no, she's not going to have a heart attack. But I thought there would be something that they would have to save her.
Yeah. I was like, oh, it can't be the water. That'd be sloppy, Ace. And I'm like, nope, it was sloppy.
I also love that Nancy's like, I feel fine, but let's go ahead and get that water tested.
So they are driving, and Nancy starts getting aggressive in the car, which is kind of scary.
Well, first Ace is like, oh, well, saved by the case, which is true, but a little rude.
Yeah, their communication this episode is clearly a hot mess.
Yes.
Which it's supposed to be. And then she's like getting all assertive in the car, aggressive in the car. And she's like, sometimes you're the windshield, sometimes you're the bug, and we see the veins.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh God, she's going to have a heart attack. Like, yeah, I was on the same page of not knowing what was going to happen from the water yet.
Yeah. We go to a commercial, come back, and Nick is on his date. He wore the hat.
He did. And then he takes off the hat when Jade is like, you're trending. He's like, oh, you think I'm trendy? And they're like, no, trending. And then he takes off the hat because he was excited that they liked his outfit and they did not like, or they weren't talking about his outfit at all.
Yeah. And then it got very awkward. He's talking about how he was unaware that he was trending. And he's new to social media and all that. And Jade offers to help him capitalize on this popularity because they work in PR. And Nick's kind of like, should I be taking notes on this?
This date is terrible. And It reminded me a lot of Bess's first date with Addie.
Yeah.
And how that scene was like, oh, we'll probably never see this Addie person again. So I was already thinking at this point, like, oh, are we going to see Jade again? And is this going to be kind of a similar trajectory? Which yeah. I'm not mad at. I kind of like the parallel. But this episode, I'm like, I don't think I do because I don't like Addie right now.
Right. Did you think it was weird that Ace FaceTimed?
It was a little weird. And also, like, really just like Flash and Jade on the screen.
I thought was weird.
It made sense from his perspective of being like, Ace, don't say anything about ghosts and stuff.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
That was what I thought he was doing. But also, you could just text respond instead of answering the thing. Be like, Can't talk right now. Don't say anything about ghosts. Or like, You could have handled it differently. Because what if Jade didn't want to be flashed to some random stranger?
Right. That's what I was thinking.
But they, you know, kind of smile and wave and don't seem bothered by that. Which, if all they're thinking about is social media, they probably don't mind.
Probably. That's true. But Ace apologizes for interrupting, but they have an emergency.
So the Drew crew meets at Nancy's house.
Nancy doesn't live there now, right? She lives at her investigations place. Well, I guess currently it doesn't have power.
So maybe
she's living there now, and that's why that was a headquarters.
Good call. Because, yeah, we don't go to the investigation place at all this episode.
And no mention of the ferret, so Chunky. No mention of Chunky, so.
That's why I chuckled. And now we get introduced to a new character, Bro Nancy. I could talk for hours about Bro Nancy.
I think I could too. We're going to try not to, because we don't need another 3-hour episode here.
She's asking if the douches were hot. She's Nan spreading.
I love that Nan spreading.
Mm-hmm. Lots of good little puns and things like that this episode. Bess is stressing out about dinner. And that's where I'm like, wait, does she live there? Why are they at that house? I was confused. But I guess maybe she too was like, I'm going to cook here because we have to deal with Drew Crew stuff. So we'll all just meet here.
That would make sense. And that Nancy's dad has all the like supplies to be cooking.
Mm-hmm.
So that she would, who knows what the setup is at the Historical Society. If they have all the equipment there.
Yeah, probably not.
But while Bess is talking, Nancy's making the whip noise.
implying that Bess is whipped because of trying to please Addie.
And then Nick and Ace show up, just the guys that Nancy was missing. Now the party can really start.
She is making everything into a competition. She's like, okay, go. And then she's just agreeing with what people are saying they accomplished, but that she did it 20 minutes ago. Why are people not trying to, like, figure out what? They're, like, kind of piecing out that something's up with her, but no one is just flat out like, what is wrong with you yet? Like, why did it take this long?
I feel like they're all kind of on edge because of, like, the curse thing. That, like, Nancy's been acting weird, and now we know what's going on. So, oh, is this affecting her behavior?
That's a really good point.
My favorite part was when Nick says something, George says something about it, and Nancy's like, good thinking, George. We should go and visit Logan. And Nick's like, well, that was my thinking, but whatever. And then Nancy tells him that he should smile more.
God, this is just such a great episode for the Drew crew.
Yeah.
Everyone has good lines. Everyone is focused on. I love the dad characters, Ryan and Carson, but them not being in this episode, I feel really allowed the episode to breathe with just the Drew crew. George says, it's like she's mentally turned into a dude. Ace is very cautiously like, we don't all act like that, do we?
And Nancy's like, no, because you're not capable of achieving this level of awesome.
I hope Kennedy had fun with this episode.
I'm sure she did.
It felt like she did. And Bess says one of my favorite lines. She's acting like a straight, cis female, gender swapped version of a bro-y guy. And Nick's like, oh, that clears it up.
And they are very confused. Like, how can one poison give Abbott a heart attack, but then is turning Nancy into the type of guy that George would never date? And they're kind of like, well, maybe Abbott's behavior is what sent him into distress. It wasn't actually the poison. It was just his behavior. Like, it gave him so much anxiety, and then he developed a heart attack, or however that works.
Mm-hmm. Bess offers to look for an antidote while perfectly searing the salmon, and she doesn't find Nancy to be a big priority right now.
Mm-hmm.
And states, bro, Nancy is harmless and somewhat entertaining. But no one really looks entertained. They all look awkward.
Yeah.
But it was funny. Nancy's trying to open a pickle jar. There's just so much, like, little background humor here.
Oh, is that why she brings the pickles later? With her apology bagels and a side of pickles? I wonder if that's why she brought the pickles. I didn't know why that was. So they establish Nancy and Ace are going to go to talk to Logan. He lives over in Eastville. Very important. He does not live within the city limits here. George and Nick are going to go see Abbott at the hospital to see if he's talking. And I love Nancy just going to Bess. Hey, you are going to cook the hell out of this meal. You got this.
Which is supportive. But really aggressively supportive.
Very aggressively supportive.
She's just like, cool, thanks. We cut to a very antsy George in the waiting room to see Judge Abbott. And Nick's being so encouraging.
I think I like George and Nick better as friends.
This episode's really pushing me towards that. Mm-hmm. I'm impressed with how cool they're being.
Yeah.
And that it wasn't this big, long, drawn-out thing.
Mm-hmm.
Also keeping in mind that all of this has happened within, like, the entire show has happened within, like, a year.
Yeah.
So that's kind of wild.
It is.
But I guess at that age, relationships were big and dramatic and end of the world if they were only a couple months. So.
Right. And I mean, they were engaged and everything. It was pretty far. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, George is very much, she appreciates everything Abbott has done for her, and she never got a chance to tell him that. And Nick is just comforting her that you were going to be able to talk to him. You will be able to say that. He's lucky that you were there to save him. And then she changes the subject and asks about his date with Jade.
To distract herself, but it's very sweet. He confesses it felt like PR coaching more than a date. We get a pronoun reminder, which I like how that doesn't faze George at all.
Mm-hmm.
He also says that he left his dumb, he doesn't call it dumb, I'm calling it dumb, his dumb hat at the cafe.
George doesn't think that that's a loss.
Mm-hmm. But it's like, okay, well, that's probably going to lead to something. Like, mm-hmm. that wouldn't be said if there wasn't going to come back.
Yeah. And then someone comes up and we learn that Abbott is in surgery, so they won't be able to talk to him right now.
over at Logan's place, he is drinking so much water.
I think it's an unhealthy amount of water.
You're supposed to have like 8 something a day. I don't know.
Like the standard is like 64 ounces a day, like 8 glasses of water.
8 glasses. He's drinking like 8 gallons of
water. Yeah. Maybe more than that. Like, it is way too much. You can get water poisoning, Logan. You need to watch that.
Mm-hmm. Nancy has zero patience for any small talk. She's like, we got to get to the point. So, you know what I wish? One critique of this episode. Nancy is dressed very much like herself.
Mm-hmm.
And her fashion is always questionable. But I would have really enjoyed this episode more if for some reason when she got splashed, if she was wearing a more typically like feminine outfit, like something a little more, maybe not characteristic for her, but more like girly, more colorful, mm-hmm. more frilly, just something that would have really juxtapositioned the whole character trait
yeah.
situation. Because like if Bess was doing this in some adorable ass outfit, it would have made it a lot, I just think it would have heightened the whole thing.
Yes.
Because Nancy's color palette here and just her garb in general, I'm like, you kind of look bro-y. Like, that's mm-hmm. how I was reading it anyways. I was yeah. like, it would be even funnier if you didn't look the part.
Like, if she was wearing that, her Hudson dress.
Yes.
It would be very weird if she was doing that.
I don't want it to be that extreme, but yeah. you get what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, some no, kind I do.
Of, I don't know. I think it'd be fun. But anyways, so she is completely over it.
She is laying it all out for Logan. Like, he had a heart attack. He seemed to be poisoned. And it was something to have to do with his case. And Logan's like, well, Abbott knew that I was a good kid and I came from a good family. And he
that stinks dismissed. Of privilege already. Mm-hmm.
He was like, I have no reason to attack Abbott. I even brought him a thank you gift. Nancy's like, we get it. You're in love with Abbott. Ugh.
And then still manages to point out something helpful, which is judges aren't allowed to accept gifts. So she's thinking through things and she's making some good points. She's just mm-hmm. doing it in the most obnoxious way possible.
Mm-hmm. We find out that Magpie Lake is not a lake at all. It is the name of the girl whose house he broke into. Margaret Pine Lake is Magpie Lake.
What a stupid name.
Yeah.
And clearly just meant to be a misdirect to make us think it's talking about a location.
Mm-hmm.
But alas, she has no control over her last name.
No, she doesn't. And we learned that she had an accident. She fell and hit her head. And the article that Ace pulls up is, you know, very straightforward, that she was walking and fell and hit her head on the curb. And Logan is acting very sad that happened and not shying away from talking about it or anything. And Nancy immediately thinks he was responsible for her fall.
And outwardly accuses him.
Mm-hmm. And Ace gets her, you know, like, makes her leave because she's antagonizing him. And she's like, no, you leave. You can wait in the car. I'm not ready yet.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, no. Logan tells him, no, both of you leave right now. My daughters are on their way. I have daughters, so I could never do anything hurtful to women.
Yeah. That was a good detail that they threw in there. They get outside. And we get the scene from the trailer where Nancy's mm-hmm. like, that is how you conduct an investigation, which is so funny now knowing how that worked. Because in the trailer, I was like, oh, this is fun. And now I'm yeah. like, no, wait, this is bad, Nancy.
It is. And it sucks because it turns out she was right all along, but she's going about it the wrong way. Like what Ace is saying is you're just accusing him without evidence.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, no, you're just trying to control me in how I do things. And you can't take it if I don't do things the way that you want them done. And he's like, is this you talking or is it the poison water? And then she leaves him.
Yeah, she's like, get your own ride.
Yeah.
Ooh. And
so maybe it was a little bit of both.
Right. Well, he contacts George to hit off Nancy at the next spot. And George just shows up and doesn't say anything. He's just like, what the heck, Nancy?
Literally pops up out of the bushes. Like she's been hiding there in Maggie's house.
Which is hilarious.
Yeah.
They need to figure out if the fall was really an accident. So that is their current goal.
So we find out from Maggie that Logan asked her out a couple of times, which Nancy thinks sounds needy and desperate. And she just kind of is like, you know, I said no. And it was harmless when you broke into my house. It was just goofy kid behavior. My accident really put things in perspective.
Mm-hmm.
She very much blames herself for the accident. She should not have had a few drinks. She should not have walked home alone. She tripped and hit her head on the curb.
Which, walking home alone, yeah, I get that. But I mean, she made the right choice to walk instead of like drive or whatever. So it's unfortunate that she's blaming herself.
Yes.
When she was making smart choices.
It is. And we learned that her parents are still supporting her because she can only teach part time because of her terrible migraines because of the accident. We also learned that she collects horse statuettes, and Nancy recognizes them. And because there was one at Abbott's office, she thinks that Logan stole one and gave it to Judge Abbott.
Which checks out from Logan having given him a gift.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's figuring stuff out really quickly here. But her behavior and attitude is making people second guess her like correct assumptions,
mm-hmm.
which I think is kind of a cool storyline. We don't really get a lot.
Yeah.
We go over to Bess cooking. She's trying to have it all and is succeeding.
Yeah.
So she thinks.
So Bess is on speakerphone with Nancy, who's at the hospital with the rest of the crew. And she thinks that Logan stole the horse from Maggie, gave it to Abbott as a power play. Ace has been very vocal in this whole thing, kind of like he just wants to counter everything that Nancy's doing,
mm-hmm.
even though both of them are correct in what they're saying. You know, Ace is saying, you know, why would Logan attack Abbott if he's the reason why he was able to walk free?
Ace is trying to be the rational one to Nancy's impulses.
Mm-hmm.
So he's double advocating everything, but somebody needs to.
Yes, absolutely.
Nancy says, this is what happens when men let their emotions make their decisions for them.
Yes.
Oh, so funny.
George is in disbelief. Like, how could Abbott be like this? How could he have, he could have prevented this attack and he didn't. How could he have made a mistake or whatever like this? That's when Nancy decides that they need to get the medical records from Maggie's accident and tells Ace to hop to it. Go get them.
But he's a hacker, Sarah. He does things with his fingers.
Don't tempt me.
Oh, my God. George and Nick's face when that happens. George is looking a little grossed out. And Nick is, like, thinking about what was just said.
Yeah.
It's very funny.
Nancy is like, hey, you still have your morgue credentials since I got you out of jail. And he's like, yeah, for something I didn't do.
Right, because she's trying to hold that above him, being like, this is why you have to do this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then she sends him off to prove that he's more than just eye candy. Her lines are insane.
Oh, yeah. And I have heard, like, a version of every single one of these. Of course, the bro version, not the cisgender-swapped bro-y masculinity version.
I believe it. That's very unfortunate.
And then Ace gets up to talk to the nurse, and Nancy immediately is like, is he flirting with her?
As she clicks her pen 1,000 times. George asks if Nancy's being possessive. She had some great facial reactions.
I love how George is just not putting up with Nancy's bullshit. She's like just treating it as it is, like not ignoring the problem. She's like calling Nancy on the things she's saying.
Yeah.
I think that's good.
It is good, and it's very George. It's just funny because it's like George knows that this is Nancy being controlled by something.
Mm-hmm.
And so instead of being like, oh, we should be patient and delicate because she's not being herself, she's just like, no, I would talk to any douchebag who's being like this. I would respond that way. So you're going to get that from me too.
Yeah. Yeah. You give them an inch and they're going to go hit someone over the head with a horse statue. So Ace comes back and tells them, you know, all the records indicate that Maggie was telling the truth.
You flirt with one nurse and you're a medical expert. Like, I care. Also, you had no shot. My God.
She is terrible.
It's so bad. Then Ace goes to help his platanker.
He is the saddest little truffle shaver I've ever seen. So bad that Bess cannot handle it.
And Bess stops her very important cooking, which is her priority of the episode. She stops that. It's like, talk to me now, please.
Yeah.
I just love them so much. Mm-hmm.
He's talking about how Nancy's been pushing him away for weeks, and she says it's to protect him. But now she's treating me like a piece of meat. He knows that she's poisoned, but it still hurts. And Bess validates his feelings. isn't like, well, just let it go because she's poisoned. It's like, no, you are hurting right now and it makes sense and it's completely valid and we will solve this.
Oh, love that. I think that's when I texted you a little anchor emoji for Plitankers.
Yeah.
Because I was watching the episode live and you weren't. I was like, I have to say something.
And so Bess leaves right now. She steps away from her dinner. That is, like you said, that was her priority. But now her priority is shifted and she needs to help her friend. So she's going to the Historical Society to find a way to alleviate the poison. So he needs to hold tight, stir the sauce. I appreciate you. Seriously, no lumps.
Okay. The I appreciate you followed by I appreciate you was so freaking cute.
It was very cute. Very sweet.
And it's just such a genuine, like, you could be like, love you. There's all sorts of things I could say. But something about I appreciate you is so strong of a word choice.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the idea of them saying that to each other a lot. And like, yeah, that's kind of their thing. So I thought that was really sweet.
Yeah.
But, oh my goodness, Bess is not gone for long before Nancy shows up, approaches Ace, apologizes, but it's like the most forced and awkward, you're the best guy, need you in my life, like just saying whatever she thinks he wants to hear.
Mm-hmm. And then it's like, hey, well, I haven't told you everything. You were right. Why don't I tell you all about the time we did get together? And he is pushing her like, no, I'm done. We are not doing this right now.
Yeah, what's she trying to do? Is she trying to kill him in this kitchen with, like, because if she told him.
I think she was trying to seduce him. And
right, which would have killed him.
Right, but she all those feelings are suppressed.
Right.
And so it's like, it's what she wants right now in the moment. Yeah.
Which is terrifying.
Doesn't care about. She takes that as rejection and does not handle that well at all.
She starts swinging the horse at him.
Oh my God. When he finally gets her in the closet and somehow manages to be calm, like, dial best please, best please.
It was great that was his first thought, because that whole struggle and getting in the closet was so fast. It makes complete sense. One, best you know, was there. Mm-hmm. Two, best is the person that should be helpful or whatever. I just thought it was really, it just said a lot to me that calling Bess was his first reaction.
Yes.
Versus any of the other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it wasn't call Nick because big strong guy can come help mm-hmm. keep her under control. It was, no, Bess can get stuff done. She knows.
Good point. Should we go ahead and take a break here?
Yeah, we will be right back.
We are back. The Drew crew is at the house. Nancy is tied up and Bess is very cheerfully giving her some clarity. LOL.
I think I texted you when I watched. I was like, is she going to get the T's confused and accidentally give Addie's parents the clarity instead of the rose and all that?
I don't remember you texting me that.
Who did I send that to?
You probably did.
Yeah. But that's what I thought was going to happen at the end, that Bess was going to accidentally ruin something. And I should have known better because Bess wouldn't ruin it.
And this clarity is not going to cure the situation, but it'll give her temporary clarity.
Yeah. And she's like, no, it's not going to work. I'm not a lightweight. And immediately after drinking it, nods off and then pops back up and apologizes to Ace for trying to kill him, but says, sorry, there's no remorse. I wish there was, but it's just not there.
Bess is very proud, states that the tea is working, which allows Nancy to have removed perspective on what she's going through.
And so she's talking about how the anger is just overshadowing all of her emotions that she's been suppressing, and they're completely locked away.
And we get a great line here from George. Basically, it's what could happen if you'd been raised to be masculine with a capital M.
Mm-hmm.
I like that they all kind of say something here. Bess follows up with, hence dealing with pain by acting tough and aggressive. And Nick says, responding to a no by trying to assert dominance. Just such a strong Drew crew episode.
Mm-hmm.
Which made our MVPs challenging, but we'll get
very
to that.
Very challenging. Yes. Bess gets a text from Ryan that he found a supernatural stomach pump that the glasses have. The tea is starting to wear off because Nancy's like, great, let's just go get the relic from the Hot Lobster guy's family. Like, what? Poor Ace. Like, he knows that she's poisoned and she's talking a bit. She's saying things that she wouldn't, but clearly she thinks it.
She has to deal with all of this.
Everyone thinks it.
All right. So Nancy and George go to Tristan. And
handcuffed together.
Hilarious.
Like, what is George? I mean, I guess George could keep her in line. Absolutely.
Also, was this the best choice? Like, a lot of these people haven't really met Tristan, but Ace met him for 2 seconds. Could Ace not have gone to see Tristan?
I would think that George would know him because of the claw.
Oh, yeah, duh.
Yeah.
Did they need Nancy? That was where I was at. I was like, this is going to be funny, and this is going to move their little triangle along. But is it actually the best choice to take her in this state to go see him?
Well, maybe it was because... like, she's going to get Jolene back for him, like, so she would be able to talk about that.
Okay.
And so that they could show him, like, you've met Nancy, you know this is not her. I like to kind of give it the stakes of, this is why we need you to go get the thing for us.
Yeah.
She tells him she caught a case of toxic gender-swapped masculinity.
Which he's like, okay, yeah, sure.
She's like, I'll try not to say anything degrading, like how good your arms look like, look in that shirt. But you should be flattered. She also tells him that she's going to get his boat back either way, but they really need that relic.
Mm-hmm. He mentions preferring the simple sea life to relics, and that's not really his thing. But he's clearly aware of, like, the supernatural stuff, because he's not really bothered by what his parents are up to. And the line about being affected by toxic masculinity didn't really faze him. So he's aware of what the town is up to.
Mm-hmm.
Which I have speculations, and we will get to those later.
Mm-hmm.
So she hands him her mother's necklace as collateral in order to borrow this supernatural stomach pump. And he points out that he's not like his parents, because the last time collateral happened was the car situation with Ryan. We know how that went.
Yeah, and he's like, wait, what happened? No, don't tell me. He doesn't want to know about how terrible they are, which mm-hmm. makes me think that they've done a lot of terrible things that he is just trying to hide himself from so that he doesn't have to deal with it.
Yep. So back at the Drew's house, they hook Nancy up to the supernatural stomach pump.
And she's like still talking, and George just straps it on her. Like, I am done. We need to get bro Nancy out of here.
Ready to say bye to toxicity? And Bess sits there cutely just cranking the machine. Things start shaking. Lights flicker. And Nancy spits black goo on Bess's dress.
Oh, worst person to do that to.
Poor Bess this episode.
Yeah.
She's so stressed. Nick's awkward out of nowhere line, what did you eat?
That was so weird.
I was like, Nick, do you not know what's going on right now? It also sounded like it was added, like, in post.
Yeah,
like,
I think
he
it
didn't
was.
Actually say it.
And she said all these overwhelming emotions are coming back at once, and looks at Ace and just so genuinely, I'm so sorry. And Bess, who was like looking down at her dress, it's okay.
That was the hardest laugh for me of the episode, because because for Bess, she's not trying to be a brat, but she genuinely is upset that this just happened. And I think rightfully so.
Oh, yeah.
And so I could see why she would expect an apology there, but it's very clearly, no, I'm apologizing to Ace for all of the things that have been happening.
Mm-hmm.
Which it was just a very good, like, real moment followed immediately up by humor.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, then we are reminded, oh, this is the same sludge that came out of the 8 reanimated corpses.
How many?
8! So, we agree, right?
Like, they are saying it a lot.
But it must be a purpose. Like, the fact that there is 8 has to be important.
It has to be.
Or something is awry.
Yeah.
Because they say it later. Mm-hmm. They say it twice in this episode.
Mm-hmm. And like 42 times last episode.
Oh, we should go back and actually count.
Ace is saying that he thinks that there is more going on than they realized, and that he hacked the medical records from the specialist that they saw, and that those records do not match Pally General, which is where they just, the local hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And they're looking at the specialist pictures, and it looks like the lacerations fit the shape of a horse.
Yeah, one of the pictures has one gash, which could have been a curb, and the other picture has 2 gashes, which is suspiciously horse-shaped.
But they're like, Abbott didn't remember any of this. Maggie doesn't remember any of this. They don't think that Logan remembers any of this. How did this supernatural memory erasing happen.
Mm-hmm. And why does Abbott suddenly care 20 years later about this old incident?
Yeah, after drinking that water. Why did that water make Nancy a ticking rage bomb and make Abbott remember stuff and have a heart attack?
They point out that something in the water made Nancy want to relive Logan's mindset and emotions of crime.
Yeah, it's like his mystical spirit latched onto her, and she wanted to specifically hit Ace in the head.
I love how many theories there are being thrown around. It's overwhelming how many ideas they're coming up with, mm-hmm. but it's really cool because they're all like brainstorming and they're all letting each other talk and listen, opposed to earlier where Nancy was being all competitive and everything yeah. had to be her idea. This was them showing like, hey, teamwork really works. And in a brainstorm, there's no bad idea. So let's throw out all these ideas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a really good point.
It was frustrating trying to take notes on all of it.
Yeah, I know. I also like how they reference the wedding dress episode for how the mystical spirit attached on.
I want to go back and rewatch that one because that was more fun, as Bess pointed out.
Yeah. And it just makes me think of when she sees Ace and she's like, are these feelings I already have or is it and all that?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because I was like, there were tons of Ace moments, but I was like, that's a big one.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways.
We find out that Abbott was up for reappointment at the time he gave Logan the boys will be boys pass for break-in.
And George is just so disappointed.
Rightfully so. He was, mm-hmm. she saw him as her ticket to what she wants to do with her life, like to go into law. And of course we know that George does not need a person or a man, an old man, to help her get along with her, like to help her succeed. But she right now really feels like she needs him. And mm-hmm. so of course she's frustrated with him and disappointed.
And they're wondering, did Abbott try to help Logan and he somehow pulled off a supernatural cover-up? And what does that have to do with the 8 reanimated bodies?
How many bodies, sir?
8.
Oh, God. Then we go to Bess in the messy kitchen. And I was so annoyed with Addie here.
Yeah. Addie comes in and sees it and says, I knew I should have called off dinner because she was expecting Bess to fail.
Bess is rightfully pissed, and I'm glad that she stands up for herself.
Yeah.
It could have been really easy there to be like, oh, I'm so sorry. But she's like, I'm sorry. You expected me to fail? I have been doing all of this today on top of trying to save Nancy, on top of all these things. She doesn't say all that.
Well, yeah. But, Addie, where have you been? You haven't been helping out at all.
Yeah. Why is Addie not help? I mean, I guess Bess wants to impress the family, but like, the couple should be working on dinner together. I think.
Oh, I was thinking, why isn't Addie there helping with the whole Nancy situation?
Right, because she knows about all that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what the hell? I'm sorry. What the heck was she doing this whole episode?
Yeah.
Other than being the worst.
The absolute worst. So she does give her reasoning that Addie doesn't want... She's like, her parents are a lot. They're very involved in her life. They will become very involved with Bess. And she likes Bess so much, she doesn't want her parents to scare her away.
It's not for her to decide how Bess is going to be around her parents. It's not for her to, she can't control the situation. Mm-hmm. Either you're going to introduce them and have faith in your partner, or you're not going to introduce them. So,
and you should explain what's going on to your partner. Like, this is what they make my parents a printed like.
Menu.
Yeah.
And that they toss away. And it's like, Addie's not being, to me, Addie was not being appreciative of Bess trying.
Yeah.
And Bess is still covered in bile, right?
Which, wouldn't you want to get that off right away when you see what...
Right, but well, she was so focused on cooking. That. She yeah. couldn't take... Oh, yeah, they weren't thinking of the what it could do to her.
Yeah.
Is it going to do something to her?
Well, I don't know, because like it was consumed, so maybe skin contact doesn't do something.
Yeah, it's mostly on her clothes too.
Yeah,
but I took her not changing as she's so focused on trying to work on this dinner that she doesn't have time to change right now.
Yeah,
and Addie should have seen that and been, and instead she's just like, I can't believe you let it get like this. But it's like, girl, she has black goo on her. Like, why yeah. are you not considering what she's been through and yep. being like, oh my god, I'm so sorry. Instead it's like, I should have canceled this.
And I'm also like, Bess, why aren't you saying something like, do you know what I've done today? But Bess isn't like that. She doesn't need to one-up other people.
Instead, she says, bring them on. They're going to love me, referring to the parents. I'm like, honestly, I don't really care if they love you at this point because I don't think I'm rooting for you two right now.
No. Addie has to do a lot to make up for this, I think. I can understand where she's coming from.
Of course.
But I think she was wrong.
Mm-hmm. And families are stressful and we don't know the whole situation. And maybe in future episodes, we'll actually get to see the parents and have a better idea. But with everything else that was happening, I did not feel for Addie here.
Yeah.
We go over to Ace and Nancy showing up to apologize, quote unquote, to Logan.
Yeah, they brought a sea creature sticker book for the girls.
And this is a split scene going back and forth between them and Nick and George, who are visiting Abbott.
Logan just lets them in, though. Like, oh, you're here to apologize. I'll let you come in so you can, like, give me a real proper apology.
Maybe he thinks he deserves that.
I guess so. I would be like, okay, thanks for the book. Bye.
Yeah. Be like, okay, apology accepted. Never need to see you again.
Yeah.
Obviously.
But I think you're right because, like, oh, no, I'm not going to let you get away with it this easily. You need to actually go through it. But yeah, it's a cut scene with George and Nick with Abbott. And George is asking why he let Logan walk. And you told me to stay away from Maggie, so I wouldn't figure out what you did.
I really like that the couples, quote unquote, the pairs are split off in this way.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Nick and George working together well. We've got Nancy and Ace working together well. Even though that there is and could be tension with both of them, they're all prioritizing correctly this episode.
Yeah. Nancy is telling Logan what happened. You followed Maggie with your horse and you snapped when she turned you down again. And he's like, oh, I see what's going on. You're trying to cancel me. You're just making stuff up. I was like, oh my God, I want to cancel him. I want to do worse than that.
Yeah, him crying cancel culture. I was like, oh, it was pretty heavy-handed. The whole episode was pretty heavy-handed, but I liked it.
Yeah.
And I think there are situations where you need to be heavy-handed to make it clear, but also make it a strong, just like make it a stronger point.
Mm-hmm.
I was screaming, yes, George, get him, when she is risking her future to do the right thing, unlike Abbott, who was not willing to do that. And she tells him all this. She lays into Abbott here, being like, you're my chance, and I'm risking that because it's right, and you weren't willing to risk that back in the day because you wanted to get reappointed.
And Maggie has been suffering while you and Logan live normal, healthy lives, and it's not fair. She deserves justice.
Yeah, the back and forth here worked really well.
It did. And then we have Logan drinking the water that Ace switched out. Because he lives in Eastville. He doesn't live within Horseshoe Bay. So he was not affected by the water. Well, at this point, we don't know about that yet. But so he's drinking this poison water and starting to remember. Ace is like, oh, I'm sorry. I thought she was really going to apologize. And they go to leave. And then you see Logan starting to remember. And he just goes to, you'll never be able to prove it. No one will. And he says that Abbott was the one that adjusted the photos, that he knew how to do that. Cutting back over to Abbott and George and Nick, he's saying that he did not remember what the horse statue was until he drank the water. And he tells George she needs to leave it alone. And she goes, I am no longer interested in your advice.
Ah, so good. So proud of her.
Mm-hmm.
And Abbott says, if you pull this thread, everything will fall apart. What does he mean, Sarah?
So like everyone knows about supernatural stuff. And they've just been, like, lying about it, apparently.
I guess so.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
I mean, it's definitely what the season is building up to, so we'll see how it works out.
Oh, yeah. We come back from a commercial, and Nancy and George are with Maggie, telling her the truth, that they don't have all the answers yet, but they will figure it out for her. Maggie was at first denying it, but, like, she's slowly taking it in, and she tells them that they were right to tell her about it.
Mm-hmm. We cut over to Addie's parents showing up. Bess has changed outfits. Addie's finally freaking helping with the meal. And as soon as Bess meets the parents, she throws herself right into it, which she does, and just gives them big hugs. And Addie's just sitting there being all nervous, and the parents are sitting there doing nothing. So I'm sure we're going to get more of that.
Oh, yeah. I think so.
I don't particularly want to watch that, but we'll see how it goes. All right, we have Nancy showing up to Tristan's, and he got his boat back.
Yay!
He returns the necklace to her, and she tells him about how the necklace is from both of her mothers, her birth mother and her adopted mother.
We learn that Tristan was adopted too, which I feel like that's going to be super important later on, dealing with the glasses.
And he puts the necklace on Nancy with his hot arms, fine motor skills.
Yeah, they do more than just look good in a shirt. Nancy's being very weird because I think she is realizing she has conflicting emotions.
Which, as into Ace as she is right now, I am a little surprised that she's crushing on someone else.
I am too. But I also think she's what? She's like 20?
Yeah, they're all young. There's a lot going on, and she's like pushing Ace out of her mind as much as she can. So a new distraction would be helpful. So I get it, but it seems a little fast. And I also get that they want a triangle in the last season and all that. So
yeah.
I'm not mad at it. I just, knowing that this is all within a couple of days is kind of wild.
Well, didn't they also announce that Ace is going to have another potential love interest?
Oh, I don't remember that.
I think they did. All right, so going over to the claw, George is thanking Nick for being there for her. Nick is really complimenting her that all the Abbotts and the Logans have been unchecked and you were checking them today. And it's clear that you're going to continue doing that. And I love that.
Yeah, this episode really won me over on them being friends. And maybe they will end up together, but they'll both be stronger when that happens, which you were kind of pointing out last episode. So I'm down. I'm excited.
Yeah. George thanks him and then offers her help with Jade and trying to figure out what Nick is actually looking for.
And being the cutest guy on earth, he says he's looking for conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Love him.
And just wants to get to know them more. And cue Jade entering.
Yeah, they walked in. And did you think George had something to do with that? Because I was like, did George plan this?
It seemed really coincidental, but I don't think she would have planned that because she doesn't truly know what Nick wanted.
Right. And she doesn't usually meddle unless people want her to. Like,
right.
Bess, I would have 100% been like, oh, she planned that.
It could be that George mentioned it to Bess in passing.
Well, even because George didn't seem surprised when they showed up. So it could have been... Like, it just, the whole thing kind of felt, I was unclear. But anyways, Jade shows up with his hat.
Yeah, thank God that's back.
I hope we get it in future episodes.
Oh, man. And this was so awkward with them. Jade apologizes for the shop talk and says that that's their crutch whenever they're nervous, which makes sense. Like, looking back, that completely makes sense that they would fall on that. And Nick's like, oh, do networking meetings always make you nervous? Which I'm like, I don't think he's trying to be. I think he's trying to feel out like what actually happened.
Agreed. And you mentioned it being awkward. It was, but I liked it.
It was like natural, but awkward.
Yeah. There was a bit of vulnerability to Jade here. And we saw that they're an actual person and not just this like crazy person from the first scene, which also gave me a bit more of the parallels to Addie's first date.
Yeah. Jade says, was I that bad that you couldn't even tell it was a date? And Nick was like, oh, no. I totally knew it was a date.
But they decide that they're on a date now.
Yeah, they're going to go on a date.
Which is cute.
Yes. And then we go over to a scene that gave me lots of anxiety because it was just Nancy and Ace alone. She brought her apology bagels and a side of pickles. Nancy tells him that she was afraid of her feelings. Then experiencing having them locked up and completely out of reach, then that turned her into a monster. She does not want that to happen to her or to have anyone else feel like that.
And she's ready to tell him how she knows about the curse. He's supportive. He's like, yeah, that sounds like a really terrible hallucination. And she's like, it did not feel like a hallucination. I lived it.
We had the most amazing days together. And then you died in my arms.
And then he apologizes for only thinking from his perspective because the men on the show are great characters who are well-rounded, real people, and not this toxic bro Nancy that we had all episode.
Yes. And she's like, well, I did try to kill you earlier, so call it even. And she admits that they do owe it to themselves to at least try to be together.
Yeah. And then he's like, well, tell me something good from the hallucination. And my heart grew 3 sizes.
Oh, yeah. I started crying when she's like, we went for a walk. That's how it started, as they're laying back in bed.
Which,
like,
super cute. And back in my dating days, to me, a walk was like the cutest thing in the world. And mm-hmm. so I was just like, oh. And they lay back on the bed and just kind of stare at each other. And there's some distance between them, which is good because they ain't trying to get Ace killed.
Yeah.
I like that the comforter had a literal line between them.
Oh, I didn't catch that.
It was like it was multicolored. Mm-hmm. And so the divider was like right in between the two of them. So I thought that was a smart directorial choice.
Little less happy scene. We go over to the claw. We find out George texted Nick because I like that she texted Nick because that's who she depends on to talk to, like, to talk mm-hmm. things out and everything. She trusts him and all that. She just can't stop thinking what Abbott said, that this is so much bigger and, you know, don't pull the thread. It all started with just one drink. And she put together that how many corpses?
8.
They released their sludge not far from the town reservoir.
And then we get just this eerie shot of Nick and George looking around the claw, which was popping this episode.
I know. Finally, they weren't closed for inventory.
I was like, oh, this is how they're so open. But oh, they're looking
probably up. Because Nick is trending, so everyone is showing up there.
Oh, I love that. Well, they maybe look around and everyone's just drinking water and they're like, oh God. So what? So is the whole town going to be bonkers bananas this season?
So I can't tell what the water is actually doing because it like removed whatever supernatural thing that blacked out Abbott. But then like what affected Nancy?
Yeah, I don't know.
She got like infused with something.
Right. And Nancy's was more specific to the Logans. Right.
Yeah.
So what's the rest of the town going to do?
Right.
Old secrets come out. People act differently. Like, I'm excited to see how mm-hmm. this goes. And I'm excited to see if it's a season long thing, which I feel like it is.
I would think so.
Yeah. But
it has to be at least 8 episodes, I think.
8 episodes. Mm-hmm. 8 bodies, 8 episodes.
Yes.
This was a great episode. So, so, so fun. Gave me all of what I want from a TV show, which is good character moments.
Mm-hmm.
It also was a fun, like, problem of the week scenario.
Yeah.
That tied really well into the overarching season story.
Yeah.
Which I think is the best kind of episode. Give me a standalone that also moves things forward.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
All right, Sarah, you ready to talk about MVPs for this episode?
Yes.
All right. So Super Sleuth, a.k.a. Most Useful. Who are you going to give this to?
I'm going with George.
Okay.
Because she was not putting up with anything. She was calling out the issues, standing up for herself, standing up for others, putting pieces together. I think she just, yeah, she was fully committed. As soon as she realized that Abbott wasn't a good guy, like, she's willing to give up everything in order to do the right thing.
Yeah, I think that's an awesome answer. I really feel like there's not a bad answer for this week
because
the whole Drew crew was on top of it. I went with Ace. I feel like what he had to go through this episode on an emotional level and the fact that he still stayed focused and he still was a team player. Because he's a Hardy Boy. Getting all this abuse from Nancy the whole episode. It would have been so easy for him to be like, I'm noping out, guys. Like, call me if you need something. Like, I can't be around this. Mm-hmm. And I think that would have been understandable for him to do that. But he didn't because he's a Hardy Boy. Mm-hmm. And so I just really like pushing through that and being able to counteract Nancy's impulses and really keep the team looking at other options, I thought was super helpful.
Yes, I agree. I guess he did try to nope out and then she tried to kill him and kind of dragged him back in. But he didn't nope out entirely. He was with Bess.
Right, right. Yeah. He was trying to nope out of talking to Nancy, but he wasn't trying to be like, I'm not going to be involved in any of this situation.
Yeah, yeah.
And when push came to shove or horse statue almost came to his head, he still did the right thing.
Yes.
So, all right. Most entertaining.
So I went with Nancy last week, which stinks because I can't go with her this week.
I know, right?
I think I am going to go with Nick, mostly because of the hat. But also, I thought he was a great supportive friend for George throughout this episode. And also just seeing him kind of develop into like looking for himself and trying to navigate through the dating world, I just thought was really great.
I love that answer. Yeah. I also love, we both steered clear of saying Nancy for anything this episode, mm-hmm. but we each managed to cover all the other four Drew crew. I went with Bess. She nice. Had some of my favorite lines of the season so far here. I wasn't married to soup, and then throwing away her menu, meaning she was clearly married to it because she wrote it down. A lemon miso glaze is elevated, right? She's acting like a straight, cis, female, gender-swapped version of a bro-y guy. Like, she was just cracking me up the entire episode. And then, of course, the it's fine when she got puked on. Mm-hmm. Like, it was just very, very funny. And she had, I think, they all went through it this episode. But if I was in her situation, I would be extremely stressed out.
Oh, yeah.
And she was, but she kept pushing through. So I just thought it was hilarious.
Oh, they're all so great. All right. So next week's episode, be sure to tune in and watch The Danger of the Hopeful Sigil. And then check out our episode where we're going to cover it.
Thanks for listening. Keep on sleuthing.
Bye.
What is the perfect movie franchise? Does such a thing truly exist? The License to Watch podcast sets out to answer that age-old question. Join comedians Matt McGregor, Harris McCabe, and Colin Shaw as they dissect your favorite film franchises one movie at a time. Along for the ride is a different film industry guest for every episode. Listen as the boys play judge, jury, and executioner and decide which of your favorite movie franchises are worthy of a license to watch.